Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then again, we have our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, on talking about some of the things coming up this spring. And then lastly, some great panfish tips for you from fishing guide Eric Tuohy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Hayward area is a true snowmobile mecca with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, you'll find us at Hayward Power Sports. We're open from 9 until 5:30, Monday through Saturday, with sales, service, parts, and rentals. Plus on Sundays, we're open for rental pickup and drop-off only from 9 to noon. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service departments Monday through Saturday. With state-of-the-art computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, 509, and Klein. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and Castle helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down Hayward Bait and Bottle. I got Jarrett McCarthy in here. Jarrett, we've had some nice weather after that cold spell we had. It's been pretty nice out there, and it looks like I don't see a lot of long-term forecasts of really cold weather.
Yeah, it's been really nice out there. You know, we had a couple days where it's been nice and sunny and, you know, upper 30s, lower 40s. And, you know, yesterday I was standing on the ice fishing. I was just in my blue jeans and a hoodie, and it felt amazing to be out there. We've got some warmer weather in the forecast, but I don't think any of this warmer weather will hurt the ice all that badly.
What are they catching out there as far as the fishing?
As far as fishing goes right now, crappie and bluegill have been really good. Northern's been solid. Walleye's kind of slowed down. But yeah, right now, I think just about everybody's out for the panfish bite.
You're hearing reports of whether they're coming up off the bottom or if they're all down toward the bottom or what right now, and they're in the deeper basins yet?
So when I was fishing them yesterday, I had a little bit of both. The more active fish that I had were suspended down. I was fishing, you know, 15 to 20 feet of water. Most fish that I was catching without problem were coming in between 7 and 13 feet. And then occasionally you'd see a couple roaming around the bottom and you drop down to them. And you get one or two most of the time, but it seems like those fish that are cruising the bottom are fairly inactive. It's those high risers that are the ones that you're going to get to go easily.
Yeah, well, there's probably a little less oxygen on the bottom. That starts to dissipate as the winter drags on here, and that's why the fish come up higher. So the fish up high probably got better oxygen. I don't think we have an oxygen problem out there yet on any of the lakes that I've seen. But, you know, as far as the time of day, you seeing or hearing anything there on the fishing?
Yesterday we got out there early morning. It seems like they didn't kick in till later in the afternoon. But, you know, we had a whole bunch of people around us, and, you know, a lot of people were swinging and missing. As far as time of day, no, haven't heard anything special, but, you know, those low light periods, especially for crappie, you know, that'll always entice a few more bites.
And perch fishing's actually been pretty good. I've seen some decent perch fishing. I saw one person had a nice mess of perch on one of the lakes. That usually picks up this time of the year.
Yep, I've been seeing that too. Seems like quite a few guys are starting to get in on a good perch bite. Those perch are coming up onto those mud flats right now. They're going to be getting ready to spawn at some point. But the perch are there, and once you find, you know, a couple of them, usually you get onto a school, and then the hard part is just staying on them.
And pike are always, we got a few weeks left, a couple weeks here before the end of the game fish season, right?
Yeah, yep, that first full weekend in March is that last weekend that you can fish game fish until opener. But yeah, pike fishing's been really, really good. A lot of guys are going out, they're using bigger baits, and they're using dead baits right now.
And dead baits usually start to kick in as we get later in the winter because there's more fish gill laying on the bottom, and pike are real opportunistic when it comes to what they want to eat.
They are, yeah. And, you know, if you're looking around your bucket and you've got a whole bunch of minnows and you're holding your nose, you know, that's what the pike love. They like that smell down there. So
it's like catfish.
Exactly, yep.
Well, anyway, Jarrett, you know, I know you're hearing much from up on the Big Lake at all. I know there have been ice fishing up there.
We heard just a few things. We had one of our guides come in before the weekend got going. They were up there, and they were getting some whitefish and some herring. But, no, I haven't heard a whole lot up there.
I don't know how many guys are going to get out for stream fishing. There's just a lot of snow out there, make it very difficult for the real late winter, early spring stream fishing for trout.
Yep, I'll definitely be one that's throwing my hat in with some of that stuff, but I think that's maybe about a month or so away.
Well, you know, and there's other things. And, you know, you're getting ready for the season here. You got all kinds of new stuff in.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got new stuff coming in every day, and we're still fully set up for ice fishing. So whatever it is you're looking for, if you're looking to get a head start on summer, if you're looking to add your tackle box for the late season panfish bite, we're here for you.
Well, you know, you mentioned tackle box, adding your tackle box. There's all kinds of stuff that in the last year or two that have come out from Plano, I know, for reorganizing tackle, plus other companies. A lot of different ways of little boxes, things that are more designed and better.
Absolutely. One of the most interesting things that I have found, something that's not massively available yet, but something that all anglers should check out, the company is called Fishmore. They've got all these unique tackle boxes that custom fit certain baits. So if you're out trolling all the time and you're constantly using, let's say, a deep diving flicker shad, you can go onto their website and you can custom make a Plano 3700 box to a box that's got, it's like a foam insert that custom fits, you know, 10 to 20 lures so that every time you want to go out and use a lure, you're not constantly detangling hooks to get it out. So it's really, really cool. Something that all anglers should look into if you're an organization not like myself in the boat.
Well, usually we carry way too much. Myself, I mean, if my boat sank in the middle of the lake, you'd think that Hayward bait went down in the middle of the lake.
Be a lot of people scuba diving down there.
Yeah, be a lot of things floating. I would hope anyhow. Anyway, I want to thank you for talking to us here and telling us what's going on.
Absolutely, John.
And everybody, hope we get an early spring.
Yep, I'm ready for open water.
You bet, me too.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we've got yet another talk with our local DNR fish biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Rent some winter fun from Hayward Power Sports. We're Wisconsin's largest and most complete snowmobile rental service, offering a wide range of late model sleds from Polaris and Skidoo. All of our machines are frequently serviced by our certified technicians, and your rental includes a helmet. Plus, you'll be able to ride out the gate with access to 600 miles of groomed trails. To rent your winter fun, go to haywardpowersports.com, give us a call, or visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
At Hayward Power Sports, let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, last week we had our local Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, on talking about ice fishing. And this week we've got him on again talking about some of the things that will be coming up between now and spring.
Well, Max, you know, it's mid
winter now. I mean, we're going toward the spring, actually. As soon as we get past midwinter, I always look at it the number of weeks before we get to spring. But there'll be some things coming up that you got to talk about, too. I mean, I know we'll have the Conservation Congress later here as we get toward spring, and you're probably going to have some kind of event to let people know what's going on. What can you tell us, any of that stuff?
Yeah, so I'm just kind of getting the details sorted out, but here's what I know, and I can share with you today. The Conservation Congress voting resolutions is going to be online again this year, and I believe those are going to be posted on April 10th. They'll be online for 3 days for folks to vote on them from April 10th through the 12th, basically, right? And they'll get the questions out ahead of time. There'll be press releases and stuff, so everybody can review those and then vote online, just as people have done for the last few years. They apparently like that system enough, and you've got lots and lots of people to participate, so they're going to stick with the online voting. But there is going to be an in-person component again this year, from the way it sounds. For the Sawyer County area, it's going to be on April 3rd, high school, from 6 to 9 p.m., and it'll be kind of DNR and Conservation Congress, fish and wildlife together. So it'll be a little different than some of the past meetings that I've done. That's just a lot of stuff about fish. This will be kind of everything, but a good time to come out, interact with the DNR staff, the Conservation Congress delegates, ask questions, especially if you have questions about any of the proposals that are up that year, and just have some conversations and reconnect with people since we haven't had an in-person meeting like that for a couple of years.
Well, you'll probably let us know exactly when that's going to happen and where and everything else as we get closer.
Definitely. Yeah, I'll be putting that out by email. I'm sure it'll be in the newspaper, online, press releases, all that stuff. We'll try to make it hard for people to miss those details and get those dates, you know, on everybody's radar again. But that's what it's sounding like. It's those two things in early April, an in-person kind of open house meeting, and then that April 10th spring hearing voting. And we do have some pretty interesting local fisheries questions this year, too. I don't know if you want to talk about those at all.
Yeah, what is going to be on there for fisheries questions that might be of interest to people? I know one thing that is, I think, coming back this year again is to reopen the muskie season the first week of May every year.
Yep, so that's a statewide question, right? So that one's not unique to our area, but it would affect our area. So that's one that folks can look for. And I know our muskie team put in a lot of work kind of analyzing that, talking with other states about how they manage their muskie fisheries, all that stuff. So that's one I imagine will, you know, get a lot of interest and a lot of conversation, creating some more opportunities for people to have that season open a little earlier. The more local ones that I, you know, work with our local groups on, one's going to be near and dear to your heart, John, and that's Moose Lake. We proposed a special rule for crappie for Moose Lake, which folks out there have been interested in for a long time. And the proposal is it would be a 5-bag for all panfish, but you can only keep one panfish over 12 inches, which is basically crappie. You know, we don't get a lot of 12-inch bluegill or even perch out there. So basically it would be a reduced bag limit even from where it is now, and it would have that size component so that, you know, the harvest that is happening is focused a little more on the more abundant 9, 10, even 11-inch crappies, and letting some of those really big ones go so that we can try to improve the size structure of Moose Lake even beyond where it is now, which is not in a bad place, but, you know, we see that as a potential for a, you know, even better crappie fishery than what we have now.
Well, I think that, you know, that's a rule that is going to be coming on a lot of different lakes, too, because the fact is this, that the fishermen out there have gotten too good. We've got better knowledge. We've got better equipment. With some of the electronics we got now, you can actually tell the size of the fish out there and the mood of the fish. And basically, we need to have that. It's not for all anglers, because the majority of anglers out there now are starting to get more conscious as far as conservation and more releasing more fish, but there's always going to be a handful of people, and a handful of people can do a tremendous amount of damage if they've got that type of stuff in their hands and they're in a total harvest-oriented mode to keep as many fish as they can.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of what you said is of interest to us now. You know, we're doing a lot of work looking at angler technology and catch rates and all that stuff. I will just kind of note that this Moose Lake proposal, this is very unique. You know, this is not something that's being proposed on a lot of other lakes throughout the state. We're kind of being allowed to do this on an experimental basis and monitor it. So you could see it in more places in the future, but I don't know what that might look like yet. You know, we want to do it on Moose Lake because we know it's an important crappie fishery and we hope people support the proposal. And we'll see if something like this works, if we get the results that we expect to. And then, yeah, maybe in the future you'd see it elsewhere. But right now it's going to be kind of a unique thing to Moose Lake.
Yeah, you know, and I think that it's something that, you know, just regulations in general, we're going to have to go back to, you know, looking at regulations over the years in the future, because as we get better and better at catching the fish and finding them, we don't want to start limiting, you know, how we fish so much as we can do it by regulations, I think, more. And that's just my opinion now.
Yeah, and that's generally been my approach, too. I mean, it's a lot easier to put it out there and say, here's how many fish you can take home and why, and here's the purpose of it, than to be the police on the way people fish, right? What technology you can use, what, you know, whatever, what, you know, lure types, whatever. We don't really want to be in that position, typically, and our wardens don't want to be in that position. So it is looking at, you know, where do we need to restrict things? Where do we need to, you know, manage harvest by the collective, by all anglers? And that's typically what we see is it's not, in most cases, it's not just like four or five people that are taking way too many fish. It's, you know, everybody, hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of people, depending on the lake, everybody taking their cut of the fish. And that's where you see the numbers coming from. But I will say, and this relates to the other proposal I was going to talk about, there are situations where we can go more liberal with harvest and open things up a little bit more. And so that's kind of the other proposal that's out there, is to increase the bag limits for northern pike on some of the lakes in our area where they're not native and we're concerned about interactions with muskies. And so what we're talking about is going to a 10 daily bag for northern pike on chipiflowage, accoutere, spider, and tiger cat. And this is another kind of special circumstance, not going to be happening everywhere, but we've been at least given permission up to this point to put it out as a question. And if people support it, you know, we would evaluate it and see if that's a good tool for trying to manage pike abundance in lakes where we prefer to have more muskies.
Well, you know, when we're talking about that topic of more liberal, the muskie opener, moving it back to the first Saturday in May, I don't see where that's going to be a problem. Although, when you get some of the real diehard muskie fishermen out there, it's like protect the muskie at all costs. I don't know if it's biologically there's any reason why it can be opened the first Saturday of May, is there?
Right. So our muskie team did a lot of work on that. And then, you know, they talked to other states that have continuous open seasons. They don't close it at all when they're spawning. Or, you know, looked at all the research on impact on spawning muskies and things like that. And they felt comfortable enough with the science to put it out there and say, you know, we don't think there's going to be a biological issue with this. We think muskies will still be able to spawn successfully, and we can create some more opportunities for people to be out at, you know, a really nice time of the year. May is great for fishing. It's fun. One thing that I would put into the conversation is a muskie that's really locked in on spawning is probably not going to bother with your bait. So, you know, it's not like you're going to, muskies paired up with a female and, you know, they're ready to start dropping eggs and they're going to see a bucktail come by and they're just going to abandon that and go chase the bucktail. That's not what's going to happen. You know, that is the time of the year where they are most locked in on what they need to do as a organism to continue their population. So, when they're done, they might start biting and that could be okay. But I don't, you know, that's part of the reason we feel okay about it is, they're still going to be able to do their thing.
Well, you know, yeah. I came from a time basically when muskie season did open the first Saturday in May, and there was almost no catch and release back then, and
right.
We still maintained the muskie
fishing. What were people doing with them?
Yeah. And so, how about other stuff out there on that thing? Is there any other questions of local interest on that conservation hearing this year?
Those were the big two locally that I worked the most on. But yeah, you know, there may be some other statewide questions people would be interested in, and I would just encourage folks, when they do release that booklet, give it a look. You know, you can read the language, the exact language that we have for our local questions. You can look at the statewide stuff and provide your input. With everything being online, it's easy, it's fast. There's, in my opinion, there's no excuse for somebody who cares about these types of things to not participate. find a half hour within that 3-day span to provide input. And really, this only comes up every 2 years, because in some years, the questions are all advisory, and so it's just kind of gauging public opinion. This is connected to rule changes. So this is the information that's going to go to the Natural Resources Board as they get the final say on, you know, do these things become the new fishing reg? So this is the year. You know, we hope everybody will take that seriously and do their part as citizens.
A lot of interesting things there. You got anything else you wanted to briefly mention here?
Well, you know, maybe we'll talk again before then, but we'll have our full, you know, our full list of spring surveys. Maybe spend some time planning on being on Lost Land and Teal, Round Lake, Tiger Cat Chain, bunch of other lakes throughout the area. So you may see us out on the water, and we'll have new stuff. I'm also working on getting all our survey reports from last year posted so people can kind of see what we saw and decide if those are places they want to check out for fishing this coming year.
Well, you know, talking about that stuff, Max, I always kind of figured that one of the most underutilized sources of information is probably the DNR website, because if you get into it, you can get access to lake maps, you can get access to you know, information like what was done on surveys. You can look up lakes and do a lot of research, find out a lot of interesting things about places to go fish and stuff.
Yes, there's so much stuff out there, and there's more and more good stuff coming every day. I'll plug a couple things that my colleagues have worked on. I had no responsibility for any of this, but there's some cool trout stuff. If you're looking for new trout opportunities, where you can sort and find, you know, where's DNR seeing a lot of trout? You know, what streams may pop up that you never thought about, or lakes or whatever. There's some cool stuff with Northern Pike, looking for, if you're searching for trophy pike, there's some places you can find that out. And then we're going to be putting even more and more stuff online in kind of a searchable format where anglers can kind of explore all the different water bodies we have out there and find the type of angling experience they're looking for, or find the type of fish population they're looking for. So, yeah, poke around on the DNR website. You know, I guarantee you, if you haven't spent time on there in a while, you'll find some things that are interesting.
Right. Plus, I know that if you stop by any DNR service center, there's all kinds of printed materials available on different topics, too.
Right, yep, and the closest service center to us right now that's open for customer service is Spooner. So folks, if they're over in the Spooner area, you can stop by there and the folks will take care of you and answer questions or whatever. You know, I'm still available. By all the means, people can contact me, phone, email, whatever. And just if you see us out and about or come to that open house in April, that would be another good one.
Well, Max, it's been a pleasure having you on here again. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to you here as we approach spring a little bit more. But lots of great information.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad to get all that out in the world, and we'll be seeing people around.
Well, thanks again, Max.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll be talking ice fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. to book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, one of the guides that get on here from time to time is Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. We've got Eric on this week talking about ice fishing for panfish. Eric, you know, when it comes to ice fishing, I know you guide in the summertime, but ice fishing, you also guide, you know, we get a lot of different kind of fish we go after here. Predominantly, I think more people go after panfish.
Yeah, it's definitely more sought after. You know, a lot of your summertime guys that, you know, us musky heads, you know, we transition now to fishing for what would be our prey for our fish that we fish for. But yeah, we have a lot of great fisheries with outstanding bluegill and crappie, and it's no thing to be able to take your five or six, you know, home and, you know, have a great fish fry.
You know, when it comes to lakes around here, a lot of people understand lakes like the Chippewa Flowage and Grindstone Cootery and that. There's a lot of small pothole lakes, little small lakes that got really some pretty decent pan fisheries in them.
Yeah, so small bodies of water. Generally, you know, good densities of fish, you know, but those are, you know, those fisheries are very special, as we know, and it wouldn't take much to, you know, you potentially lose that as a panfish fishery. So we need to be conscious of those factors too. There's all these small lakes that are either tucked away out in the woods or even maybe just right around the corner of your cabin or home that may not still seek a whole lot of attention during the ice season. It's definitely worth taking advantage of.
Interesting what you said there too, is that you want to be conscious of what you keep out of the lakes, because there's lakes out there that are 18, 20, 25 acres, and it wouldn't take very many people keeping a bunch of crappies to really hurt those lakes.
Yeah, or even the big bluegills, you know. Everyone loves big bluegills, but those big bulls with that big knobby head, those males are so critical to that ecosystem and the continuation of the bluegill population.
When it comes to panfish in the wintertime, one of the things that most of people want to do is basically they fish really light line. They try to entice those fish to bite. But just like walleyes or anything else in predator fish, we can actually make them bite with a more aggressive presentation sometimes if they won't respond the other way.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the light tackle and, you know, utilizing even lead jigs in some circumstances and under certain bite windows are definitely something to have in the arsenal. But one of my favorite crappie rods, I run 5-pound Power Pro on it, and, you know, ultralight rip and wraps. I mean, really aggressive presentations, and there's nothing more fun to see that fish come screaming up to nail that thing. Yeah. And I'm able to fish a hole really effectively. I feel confident in fishing it very effectively and moving on to the next hole if I need to. And, you know, trying to call in and seek out those eaters.
Well, sometimes, you know, too, is that people think small, small, small. A crappie will actually hit a fairly large lure. I mean, some of the jigging wraps, the puppet minnows.
Oh, absolutely. I've spent a little time jigging for pike even, and I've had clack and wrap, which I'm sure you're familiar right with, you know, big magnets in there, so it's extremely loud. I think it was pretty much one of the biggest ones they make, and I had a mark show up right underneath it. I kind of played it up, and that thing rose up, hammered it. It was about an 8-inch crappie that ate a big bass, you know, rattle trap. So these fish will definitely chase after a big meal, even in the wintertime.
You bet. Interesting information, Eric. I know that you guide in the wintertime out on the lakes. You got guide service. There's several of us guides that you can contact or you. How do you get hold of you?
Well, if someone would like to get in touch and book a trip on the hard water, they can reach me at 612-384-9127.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.com. And from there, you can link through to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.